Amen. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's good to see y'all this morning. My name, again, is Anthony Swada, and it is great to be with you guys. I have known your pastor for a little while now, a couple years, and he serves on the executive committee of the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention. It's always a joy to see him when he comes to our offices and things like that. And I'm just going to tell you, church, you got a good pastor.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad a few of you guys amen to that. It's good. I hope you guys are praying for him regularly, because I'm going to tell you something. He loves you guys. He does. And I have heard great things about your church, and so I'm excited to be here with you guys. And so I hope you are loving on and encouraging your pastor and loving him the way that he loves you. Also, he told me you guys are an amen in church. Is that true? Amen. Amen. I love that. I love that. So I'm so excited to be with you. If you have a copy of God's Word, go ahead and begin opening it up to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to look in the first few verses of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and that's where we're going to be this morning. So that's where you want to get in your scripture. And today, one of the things that I want to talk to you about is, first of all, this is one of my favorite passages, but second of all, what we see in this passage is the most important thing in scripture. The most important thing in scripture. We're going to find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to be looking in verses 1 through 11. And the title of the sermon, again, is The Most Important Thing. So if you have a copy of God's Word, and I believe we're going to have that scripture up on the screen here in just a moment. Are we good with that? Are we all able to get that up there? Nope. All right. We're winging it. It's all right. We got the Bible. We'll just go from there. So if you have a copy of God's Word, this is what we're going to look in. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 11. Let us read the text together, and then we're going to go back through the text. Look at what it says in the word of the Lord in verse 1 of chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. Now, I want to make clear for you, brothers and sisters, the gospel I preached to you, in which you received, on which you have taken your stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold to the message I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and then he appeared to over 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Most of them are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one born at the wrong time, he also appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have believed. As we look at this text, here's the thing. We are talking about the most important thing. So as you look at this text, I want to tell you that's what Paul's driving toward. He is driving toward the most important thing for the Corinthians to know. Who in here has ever read the book of 1 Corinthians? Raise your hand. You ever read this? Okay, good. Many of you guys are familiar with it. When you read the book of 1 Corinthians, you will know that Paul talks about every topic underneath the sun. He's talking about lawsuits. He's talking about believers and how they deal with each other. He's talking about church governance. He's talking about spiritual gifts. He's talking about all sorts of stuff in the book of 1 Corinthians. But one of the things that I know is that when you get to the end, chapter 15, you see that Paul says, now hold up a minute. I've talked to you about a lot of stuff, but let me remind you of the most important thing. As we also look at this text, I want you to remember something. It's not just an important thing for the Corinthians, it's also an important thing for Paul. As you get to the later passages in what we just read, you see that Paul tells them, look, guys, this is the most important thing for my life too. The most important thing, the gospel, it came into my life. I was persecuting the church, but then God set me on a new path. And this new path that I'm on, it has changed everything. And it's not even what I'm doing in this new path. It's what God's doing through me. It's the most important thing of my life. And everything centers around it. The most important thing. Now you may be going, preacher, what in the world does this have to do with me? Well, I'm so glad you asked, church. It has everything to do with you. Because let me tell you something. Whether you are a believer or an unbeliever, the world is constantly pulling on us. We live in a world that tells you, go, 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 do, 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 and accomplish as much as you can in the time that you have. And I don't know about you guys, but I have all sorts of things pulling at my attention. If it is not my work, it is other responsibilities that I have at home. And if it's not those type of things, it's my interests, my hobbies, and that type of stuff. And if it's not any of those things, it's all of that stuff with my kids. They're pulling me all in the wrong directions too, right? They're living their best lives and I'm just a chauffeur. I'm telling you this because here's the thing, is that if you are in the world right now, there is a constant struggle between the most important thing and the things of this world. But Paul, again, he reminds us, this is the most important thing. If you have your Bibles open, we are going to circle back around to verse 1 and 2. I want you to look at what it says there. It says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you. Now here's the thing. If you were taking notes, I want to give you the first point that you have here. This is the reason why we are here. It is the gospel. The reason why we are here today in this church worshiping God is because the gospel. The most important thing, it changed everything for us. And some of you guys may be sitting here going, what in the world is the gospel? And the gospel is actually a Greek word. Did you know that? Gospel is a Greek word and it means good news. It's good news for you and me. So the reason why we're here today, the reason why everything has changed is because of this good news. What is the good news, you may ask? The good news is this. Jesus. Jesus came for us. You may ask yourself, why did Jesus have to come for us? Well, here's the reason why. It's because we have all sinned. We are sinners by nature. That's who we are. That's what our flesh does. We are all sinned. You may be going, what in the world is sin, preacher? Let me tell you what sin is. It is rebelling against God. It's breaking God's laws. That's what it is. So let me tell you, if you've ever gotten a fight, you're a sinner. If you've ever looked upon somebody in lust, you're a sinner. If you've ever taken something without asking, you're a thief and a sinner. If you've ever told a lie, you're a sinner. Now let me ask you, have you ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Everybody? If your hand's down right now, you're lying in church, y'all. So don't do that because you're a sinner, okay? I'm telling you this because what the Bible describes to us is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What that means is this, is that God is holy and righteous and he sets a righteous standard and a law, but we have fallen short of that. We can't meet the mark. And that's what sin means. Not meeting the mark, rebelling against God, breaking God's laws. Now the bad news is this, guys, is that because we are sinners, we deserve death. The Bible actually tells us this way. He says this in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. What does that mean for you? It means this, is that there is no possibility for a person to be good enough in order to get into heaven. In fact, because of the wrong things in which we have done in our lives, we deserve spiritual death. The Bible describes spiritual death in several different ways, but it uses a word, and we're all familiar with it. It's hell. It's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, of eternal torment and punishment. I'm not trying to scare any of you, but I do want to be absolutely transparent with you because I don't want anybody in this room to get to that point of eternity and go, I didn't know what I was facing. But let me just tell you, we're all facing hell. The good news is this. This is the gospel, is that it doesn't have to end that way. Because Jesus has come for us. He's come to save us through his death on the cross. You see, what Jesus did is he came and he lived a perfect life and he fulfilled prophecy and he performed miracles and he did all these great things. But the best thing that he did for us is he died upon the cross for you and me. Praise God, right, church? Amen. He took our sin debt and he nailed it to the cross. And so that we can be forgiven of our sins because he died for the punishment in which we deserved. He took the wrath of sin and death and placed it upon himself and gave his life for us in order that we may have his righteousness given over to us. And when God looks at us, when we have Jesus, he sees Jesus' righteousness. He was then buried in the grave for 3 days after his death on the cross, and he rose again on the third day. Now, why is that important? Here's the reason why it's important is because what Jesus is telling us by his resurrection is not just words of conquering sin and death and hell, but actually actions. How do you know that Jesus can give you this good news? Because he is the one who rose from sin and death and rose to the right hand of the Father. Praise God. Now, all this is good news. Amen. Amen. And it is the reason why we are here. But I want to come to a conclusion here just for a second at this point. Here's the thing that I know is that many of us have heard this before. Many of us have heard this before. Many of us have been to church before. In fact, I bet that many of you guys who were sitting in the seats of this church last Sunday probably heard the good news of the gospel. Okay, two of you. Awesome. I'm going to give you another chance. All of you who were in this church last Sunday sitting in these pews probably heard the good news of the gospel. Amen. Because I know that because your pastor is a Bible preaching, gospel proclaiming preacher. Now, I'm telling you this because I want us to come to a reality. Although many of us, what we do is we sit in churches or we go to church where we were raised in church. We hear the gospel, and for many of us, what happens is it doesn't stick in our lives. We hear the gospel, and it has no impact on our lives. And honestly, guys, I'm going to tell you, that was my life story. That was my life story. My early upbringing, I was raised in Catholic church. I went to a Catholic school for a while, and I had heard these truths. And I bounced in and out of church in my teenage years and things like that, and I had heard the gospel before. I'm telling you this. I heard that I was a sinner. I knew when I did something bad because I felt guilty about that. I knew that Jesus came into the world and he died on the cross in order to provide forgiveness of sins and things like that. I knew Jesus rose from the grave because I celebrated on Easter with my family and things like that. But I'm going to tell you something. Although I knew about the gospel, I didn't know Jesus of the gospel. And some of you may find yourselves today. The question that you may be facing at this point, whether you've been in church one day or 100 years, is how do I know if I know Jesus? And that's where Paul gets next. So turn your attentions back to the scriptures here and look in verse 1 and 2. It says, "Now I will remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, in which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved." So how do you know if you know the gospel and you know Jesus of the gospel? Well, you received the gospel. You received the gospel. Look at how he says it, in which you received this. Now, this is very important here because there is a vast difference between knowing the gospel and receiving the gospel. You can know about Jesus but not know Jesus. In the same way, I know Abraham Lincoln was a historical figure, but I don't know Abraham Lincoln in my heart like I know my Jesus. I'm telling you this because here's the thing. There may be some of you guys in this room right now that are saying, "Now, wait a minute, preacher. Hold on just a second. I know all about the gospel. I've been in church for a long time, ever since I was in my mother's womb. I have been at church. And preacher, let me just tell you, I was raised in church. And so I was an RA or a GA or an Awana, and I got all the badges, preacher. Let me just tell you about all that. And whenever it comes to Sunday school, I never miss, preacher. I got a stack of quarterlies in my home that are all filled out and ready to go. I've never missed Sunday school. And oh yeah, preacher, let me just tell you right now, I'm a deacon." And I'm going to say, "All that is great, man. All that is great, sister. I appreciate all those things, and all those things are great, but let me just pour out a little truth on you. None of that saves you. Absolutely none of that saves you. No one is saved by good works. The gospel must be received. No one is good enough in order to enter into a righteous heaven on his own abilities or deeds or anything like that." And let me just be very frank with you. Jesus is not impressed with our Awana badges. He's not. There is a reason why Jesus had to come. If you could be good enough in order to get into heaven, why did Jesus have to die on a cross? That makes no sense. I'm telling you this because this, you have to receive the gospel. I want to give you two other verses, and it looks like we may have had those on the screen. Let me give you the first one, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It may be up there, it may not be, that's all right. If it's not, you can look it up in your Bible or write it in your column of your Bible. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man may boast." Let me give you another one. Titus 3:5. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you this because the only thing we can do regarding our salvation is to receive it. The good news about this, is that he's already done it for you. You don't have to worry about being a good enough person in order to receive Jesus. In fact, the Bible tells us is that you can't. You just got to go and give it all up to Jesus and receive the gift in which he has given you. And praise God, this is good news because Jesus, what he does is he doesn't require any type of requirement for you to come to him. In fact, he says, just come. What are you waiting on? Just come. I'm telling you this because this is such good news. He's already paid for all of our sins. If we will just trust him with it. And in fact, Jesus even declared this from the cross, right? He said, it is finished. Paid for in full. Absolutely done. The question then becomes for you and me is, have you received the gospel yet? Like if we return back to that question, how do I know if I know Jesus? It's a real quick question for us of application. Have I received the gospel yet? Have you gotten to a point in your life where you sit there and say, Jesus, I can't be a good enough person. I can't do this on my own. I need you. Here I am, God. I have nothing to offer you but my heart and my life. God, here I am, ready to receive you. Have you done that? Let's continue on. The next part about this is it talks about us standing in the gospel, and that's the second way in which you know if you know the Jesus of the gospel. It says it in this, in the text, in which you stand. Now, I love this verse because what Paul does in this passage is he tells us that accepting Christ is more than just a one-time decision. It's actually a continued action of movement. How do we know if we know? Because we're continually acting in Jesus. Now, as you think about this, this tells us that salvation should be obvious to us and obvious to the people around us. Now, let me break down this illustration which Paul is using in his words if you haven't picked up on this yet. And I'm going to put Pastor on a hot seat real quick. Can you do that? Are you good with this, Brother Donald? All right, come on up here real quick. I need to borrow you. All right. Okay, this is going to be super easy, so don't get too nervous. I'm pretty sure you can figure this out, okay? Okay, all right, okay. So I just made the statement that when we're walking in Jesus, it's going to be obvious to outsiders and obvious to ourselves, okay? So church, you're up on the hot seat first. Are you ready for the very difficult question? All right, is Pastor Donald standing up? Okay, y'all passed with flying colors. This is so good. It's obvious. Now, what does that mean for you and me? It means this, is that if you are in Christ, if you are standing in the gospel, other people are going to look at you and say, hey, man, there's something different about that guy. There's something different about that girl. Okay, so here's a hard one for you. Are you sitting down or are you standing up? Standing up. He's standing up. He did it. Everybody give him a round of applause. Absolutely. Thank you, brother. Now, I know that's cheesy and hokey, but at the same point in time, that's what Paul is doing in this text when he says you're standing in the gospel in which you stand. The important thing about this, is that as you examine your life right now, the question becomes, are you standing in the gospel? I can't answer that for you, but you can answer that for you. Are you standing in the gospel? When people look at your life, are they going, yeah, man, that guy has a love relationship with Jesus. Oh, yeah, man, that sister over there, she has an intimate and personal relationship with Christ. And when you think about your life, are you sitting there going, yes, yes, I have a relationship with Christ. There's no shadow or doubt about it. Are you standing in the gospel? Are you? Let me give you the third way you know Jesus of the gospel. It's this, you're being saved by the gospel. The text says, by which you are being saved. Now, Paul uses this and he's stating the effect on a person because whenever a person is saved by Christ, the action of the gospel in their life, it changes everything because it's the most important thing. Now, as we approach this one, church, I want to tell you there's a common misunderstanding among non-believers and believers that whenever you come into a relationship with Jesus, everything becomes super easy. Everything becomes rainbows and Skittles and unicorns, you know. right? And everybody loves you, and you're now sinless, and you're perfect, and all that type of stuff. But let me just burst everybody's bubble for a little bit here. That is absolutely untrue. Absolutely untrue. If you came to church today as a visitor, and you're sitting here saying, man, there's a lot of really perfect people around here, yeah, let me just tell you, everybody in this room is a sinner in need of a Savior. Amen? Amen. Everybody needs Jesus. We need Jesus. That's what we need, you guys. That's why we're here, is because we need Jesus. I'm telling you this because here's the thing, is that for a believer's life, in fact, it actually becomes a little bit more difficult. It becomes more difficult for a believer. Instead of it becoming easy, it becomes more difficult. Why is that? Here's why. Because the world provides easy, but Christ provides calling. Whenever you come into a relationship with Christ, you are no longer called to act as the world acts. You're called to act as Christ acted. You're called actually out of the world and to lay down worldly things and just start following after Jesus. That's why we deny ourselves and we pick up our cross and we follow Jesus. Amen? Amen. And the fact of the matter is that we're not perfect in this walk because we're also still fighting a war, and the war is not outside of us, it's inside of us. It's a war of the flesh versus the spirit, and it's always tugging upon us and things like that. So I'm telling you this because here's the thing, is that when we look at this text and we talk about what it means to being saved, he's not talking about that moment we come into a relationship with Christ where we go through justification and everything is clear and we're forgiven of our sins. He's talking about that point of sanctification. The way that we know that we're in Christ is because we're constantly, every day, being made more and more to look like Jesus. We're fighting against the world. We're fighting against the flesh. We're fighting against all these things. And that is a significant marker in a person's life that they know every day God is using circumstances in order to make them look more and more like Jesus. Let me break this down into an easier way to think through this. Let me ask you a question. How are you more like Jesus today than you were yesterday? How are you more like Jesus today than you were last week? Let me ask you, how are you more like Jesus today than you were last year? Or let me ask you another way. Maybe you look back on your life and you sit there and say, okay, is Jesus changing me at all? Here's my conviction. I believe that the gospel changes everything in a person's life. There should be a moment in time where you look back on your life and you say, that was the moment in which Jesus came into my life and made me new. So the question again becomes, how are you more like Jesus today than you were yesterday? That's how you know. If you're constantly being changed by Jesus, that's how you know you're being saved by the gospel. We got to continue on in here, church. We're going to move to verse 2. It says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2, and by which you are being saved if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. Which brings us to the second point of our sermon. There's a choice we all have to make. There's a choice you must make. Look at the way that he phrased this. If you hold fast, there is a choice that everyone has to make to trust in God. And you will either make that choice or you will not make that choice, and the choice will be made for you. I'm telling you this because here's the thing. Nobody can do this for you. There are many people that sit there and say things like, oh, well, my grandpa was a preacher or something like that, or my dad was real devoted to the church, but I don't really go to church or something like that, and man, maybe I'll get into heaven that way. No, that's not the way that works. Some people will sit there and say, but my grandma prayed for me a lot. She prayed for you in order for you to be in this moment and have the opportunity to make the decision, but she cannot make the decision for you. It is up to you to make the choice to hold fast. And as you look upon this, you're going to see it's holding fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Now, this is really important here because when we talk about this word holding fast, he's holding and he's gripping onto this for dear life. Now, let me ask you guys a question. I see some of you guys who are a little bit older in this room, so we're going to talk about something that's illegal today that wasn't illegal back in the past, okay? You prepare your hearts. How many of you guys, by raise of hand, have ridden in the back of a pickup truck? Yeah? I know I got some good country Texas people in here. Amen. Let's go. You know, I can remember when I was a little kid, I used to go to my uncle's house, and he managed property, and we would go shoot stuff and go fishing and all the cool stuff that boys wanted to do whenever they're real young and all that type of thing. But one of my favorite parts was riding in the back of the pickup truck. Now, let me just be really transparent for you. One of the reasons why I like this is because he liked to drive fast. And sometimes that would scare me to death. We'd be going down a country road, a gravel road or something like that. He'd be taking turns and stuff. And you know what I'd be doing? Holding fast, y'all. Right? Holding fast for dear life. And that's what it's like whenever you hold fast to Christ. You know, I believe that your pastor has probably told you guys to have a daily quiet time. Amen? Once or twice, maybe. Just a few times. Right? I believe that he's probably told you that you need to have an intimate prayer time with the Lord. Amen? Once or twice, a few times maybe. Yeah? Absolutely. Now, why is he doing that? Is he wanting you to do that because of some type of religion? Absolutely not. No, he's telling you to hold fast to Jesus. I'm telling you this because I don't have those daily quiet times with the Lord because I'm trying to check off some box. I'm not doing those daily quiet times with the Lord because I believe that I'll make Jesus mad at me if I don't. I'm doing those daily quiet times with the Lord. I'm spending time in his word and spending time in prayer because that's the way I hold fast to him. That's what grounds me. That's what keeps me out of the muck of the world. That's what keeps me sane in my war with the flesh. That's what holds me. It's all Jesus, and I hold on to him too. I'm telling you this because here's the thing. We hold on to him with everything we are. Because faith in Jesus, what it does is it defines us when we have Jesus in our lives. There's a passage of scripture I want you to know. Here's another one, Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul, he describes it this way. He says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. Let me ask you the question, church. Are you holding fast to Jesus? Are you holding fast to Jesus? Are you having that intimate and personal relationship with him? Are you running to your Heavenly Father in prayer? Are you spending time in his word? Are you getting out of the world and into him? Are you holding fast to Jesus? Finally, church, we need to go to the last part of this message here, and it's this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. If you did not catch it again, he just told you the most important thing is, again, the gospel in which he received. What is the gospel? It's the gospel given to you. And he tells him again that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. The gospel given to you. He delivered to him again. Christ died for our sins. What does this mean? That Jesus died for us on the cross. That we were sinners. Destined for hell, but Jesus stepped in the way by leaving the perfection of heaven and coming for us, performing miracles, fulfilling prophecy, proclaiming that we can have peace with him and ultimately dying on the cross for you and I, taking upon our sin upon himself in order that we may receive his righteousness. He was buried, and on the third day, he rose again in order that we would know that our sin debt was absolutely paid in full, and he had the ability to conquer sin, death, and hell and provide us an eternity in heaven. How can you know this is true? Because this is the story of the Bible, and he did it according to the scripture. You know, one of the cool things about the Bible is it's not just written about in the Gospels. But if you flip the entire pages of the Bible, this was God's redemption plan. It was Jesus. And it is Jesus. Why am I telling you this? Here's what I'm telling you. He is the most important thing. This Bible is not our story. It's his story. It's the gospel that Jesus has come for us. Let me ask you a question. Do you know the most important thing? Do you? Do you know the most important thing? You may find yourself today very distracted by all the things in life. And let me challenge you in just a moment during this invitation time to put your heart in Jesus, to call upon him for salvation and receive his forgiveness. You may find yourself today just oblivious to what was going on, and maybe this is the first time that you've heard the gospel. Let me challenge you today that today is the day
to put your trust in Jesus. No matter where you are today, make Jesus the gospel, the good news, the most important thing in your life. Church, let me pray, and then we're going to begin our invitation. Father God, we come to you now, Lord. And we just praise you. God, we praise you for this faith family that we are able to join with today and worship you and sing your praise and your thanks. God, we praise you for the scriptures today which guide our hearts and our minds and declare your true and perfect and inerrant word. God, we thank you for the Spirit which convicts and challenges and calls us this morning. God, we thank you for Jesus who died for us and gave his life for us. God, we praise you for this opportunity to come before your throne. So God, I pray right now, Lord, for the people in this room. I pray for those who are questioning, Lord. I pray that they would come forward and they would speak with one of the leaders here in the church. And Lord, they would just get their answers answered and their questions satisfied, Lord. And they would begin a relationship with you, God. I pray for those in this room, Lord, who have been wondering and what all this is about, Lord. I pray that they would come forward and they would make it about the most important thing, you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bring salvations this morning. That you would bring life change as your word promises that it will. And God, that you would do your work in this room. Do all these things for our good and your glory. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.